This week and next, we're going to still camp in James 5:13-18. Today, it'll be more thematic. I hope really driving us towards the Lord Jesus. Next week will be more specifically on prayer. Although today, I hope that because of today, our prayer life will be blessed and enriched as well. So, let me read now. James 5, verses 13 to 18. Is anyone among you suffering? Let him pray. Is anyone cheerful? Let him sing praise. Is anyone among you sick? Let him call for the elders of the church and let them pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer of faith will save the one who is sick, and the Lord will raise him up. And if he has committed sins, he will be forgiven. Therefore, confess your sins to one another and pray for one another that you may be healed. The prayer of a righteous person has great power as it is working. Elijah was a man with a nature like ours, and he prayed fervently that it might not rain. And for 3 years and 6 months it did not rain on the earth. Then he prayed again, and heaven gave rain, and the earth bore its fruit. And this is the word of the Lord. Let me just pray again. Lord, I pray that your Spirit would visit us and that whatever is true and good and beautiful would lodge in our hearts, Father, so we would honor you more ably. Lord, provoke us to repentance. Lord, teach us to realize that repentance is the pathway to joy. Lord, keep us humble, yet very confident in you. Thank you for your word, Lord, that we can consider now. I pray in Jesus' name, amen. All of us, in one way or another, resonate with stories. Our lives unfold like stories. And when I was growing up, my father read to us. My mother as well, but I especially remember my father reading to us. And I'm trying to be sort of techie today. Unfortunately, I wasn't very techie, and I gave slides to the guys like right before the service. But there is a couple of slides. The Wind in the Willows, that was one of my favorite stories growing up. And then Narnia, I think I have, yeah, all right. And then Incomparable, Huckleberry Finn. That's a great picture, too. That could still keep me up wishing I was on a raft. And then for some of you, Frozen is another story. The jury is out about Olaf, but it was a story that really resonated with a lot of people recently. My father read all these stories to us, but he especially read the story, The Drama of Redemption, of the gospel, and I'm glad for it. And by the way, tonight when we meet and sing and enjoy one another, we're going to read some stories. We're going to read the account. We're going to learn more about Jesus as the great physician and more about prayer by a stunning passage in Mark 5. But there's going to be very little commentary. We're going to read about it through a great book, Sally Lloyd-Jones, the Children's Storybook Bible, that all adults ought to read. And then a book I should have got a picture of it, just received this past week called Behold the Kingdom of Glory, where a man named Russ Ramsey, he figured out the timeline of Jesus' life, and he tells the stories, very true to the stories, but he adds some surrounding information that really helped the stories come alive. So tonight will be story time and singing time, if you can come. Well, what stories do is they uncover longings that are hardwired within us because we're created in the image of God, who is the great storyteller. I mean, even history, it's his story. And he creates us as people that our lives unfold as stories. And he's placed eternity in our hearts. So the stories that come to captivate our hearts shape us. and they inform our affections, and then out of the overflow of our hearts, we act and speak and think. And I'm going to reference today some things from The Return of the King that Sharon and I are, hopefully, as we get time, we'll finish. Now, I wanted to get to this first, because if you went to our last church life meeting, you saw this. And now, this is troubling. I'll tell you why. Because when I first saw it, I thought, why would anyone make Frodo look that ugly? And then people were really laughing, and someone said, it's me. So, I think Phil did this. So, yeah, I think that's like a picture of me melded with Frodo. I don't know. So that was sort of troubling on the heels of my disturbance that anyone would make him so ugly. anyway, we could take that down. But, you know, just for those of you that would be in your mind, I thought I'd beat you to the punch. But, there's a quote too. All right. It worked. I took a picture of my paper. See, George said there's better ways to do this. J.R. Tolkien, John Piper said, taps into this deep ache within us. We were made by a king, and we were made to be ruled by him. And when the right king reigns, prosperity will again reign over the land. Now, we've got a problem in this world that you're well aware of. We just prayed for David's mom. We just prayed for Kathy. We've been praying for Pam. We pray for loved ones who are sick. We pray for Dave. His mom fell, but Dave is sick. I remember two good friends of mine, when brothers, Joe Hensler and Ed Hensler, some of you know them, we were on a ski trip with a youth group, and as the young men were wont to do, Paul Olson was usually in the middle of such things. The regular slope wasn't interesting enough, so they had to like develop jumps coming out of the woods, and it was very entertaining. But Joe, he took a long jump, and he just sort of kept turning, and he landed on, he broke his collarbone. So I had to take him to the emergency room, and so I got in the van, and I'm driving, and I could see Joe and his big brother Ed up next to him, and any movement of the van jostled Joe's shoulder. And so he was kind of whimpering, you know, crying lightly, but Ed was sobbing. Joe was the one that got hurt. Ed was crying hard because he was so empathizing with his brother. So like the sickness in the world, like it affects all of us in different ways. It's not only the literal sickness, it's being sad and discouraged. I've got another quote here. You're going to see a little Lord of the Rings stuff. That's Bilbo. Says, it's a dangerous business, Frodo, going out your door. You step onto the road, and if you don't keep your feet, there's no knowing where you might be swept off to. And if you read the rest of the story, you find out how true that is. We all experience pain, from little splinters to cancer. We experience pain. We experience breaches in relationships. Sometimes you'd wish you broke a bone rather than go through the pain of unrequited love or nagging disappointments. It says, we read in Proverbs that hope deferred makes the heart sick. See, there's all kinds of sickness. Even Elijah, we're going to talk about Elijah next week. But Elijah here is this great prophet, this courageous, godly man. But he became heart sick. He was weary. He was weary of life. I mean, listen to this in 1 Kings 19. Elijah, who had just confronted these 800 false prophets, he was spent emotionally and physically and spiritually. And when confronted by this wicked queen, we read that Elijah was afraid and ran for his life. He went a day's, when he came to Beersheba in Judah, he left his servant there while he himself went a day's journey into the wilderness. That sounds like depression to me. a day's journey into the wilderness. He came to a broom bush, sat down under it, and prayed that he might die. I have had enough, Lord, he said. Take my life. I am no better than my ancestors. Then he lay down under the bush and fell asleep. Now, he was very tired, but that's also another sign. If you're feeling despondent and melancholy, sometimes you just feel like you need to lay down. The Apostle Paul says, in this life, and Paul knew how to enjoy life, by the way, but he said, we groan. We long for recovery. We long for consolation. But as we noted a couple weeks ago, sickness, though, can be a doorway, a profound doorway to God's grace and to healing, physical healing, yes. If you're sick, we long to be healed physically, but also spiritual healing, and that is, sickness can help us with our root disease, the most lethal disease, and that is sin. You know, if you were able to take a spiritual selfie, an odd concept, you'd find out what Jeremiah said. Our hearts are beyond cure. They're desperately wicked. That's all you would find out. So there's this real blessing. Anything that stops us in our tracks, if indeed we look towards the Lord, it is a blessing. I remember reading a great novel. I should have got a picture of it. The First Circle by Alexander Solzhenitsyn. And he was, it's a novel, but it's really based on what he was experienced back in the Soviet Union when he was put in prison. And, he volunteered to chop wood, even though it was so cold outside Moscow. He said, the character that I think is really him in the book says, I thank God for prison because it has given me a chance to think. And anything that helps us think is good. So illness can be a time to expose, physical illness can be a good opportunity to expose spiritual illness. That doesn't mean that your sickness was caused per se by sin, except as George said, as Pastor George said, that in a sense, all illness, every deficiency in this world is ultimately the result of sin. But the illness that you have, we are not to assign a purpose to someone's illness. We don't know. In fact, it's God's kindness that often allows illness into our lives. But you see, the illness, though it's not caused by sin, it might be, but not necessarily. It can expose sin, so it can, other kind of pus can come out, like, you may be very anxious or very, there may be discontent, but it just has been laying dormant. But a troubling illness or some kind of sadness in your life may bring it to the fore. And that's a gift of God because it'll help us to repent and know healing. So illness is full of all kinds of opportunity. Listen to what David says in Proverbs 25:16-18. Turn to me, O Lord, and be gracious to me, for I am lonely and afflicted. This is a sickness of heart. The troubles of my heart are enlarged. Bring me out of my distress. Consider my affliction and my trouble, and forgive my sins. You see, he's in the middle of all kinds of real world trouble, people seeking his life, being lonely, far from his family, hungry, thirsty, all these real physical, psychological dilemmas. But he's always aware that through all of it, the underlying thing that most needs curing is sin. And that's why you see here in this passage, and if this person has committed any sins, he will be forgiven. You're praying for their physical healing, but by the way, as we have opportunity, let's always be dealing with all, the full panoply of illness and disease and certainly sin. Make the most of every opportunity. Or like Ernest Hemingway when he wrote to F. Scott Fitzgerald, his wife was ill, and he said this. He said it as one artist to another, but I hear it spiritually. He said, when you get the pain, he literally said, when you get the damn pain, use it. Use it and don't cheat. So God puts a difficulty in your life and you just want it over. Just want it over. And yes, we want it over. But while it's there, use it. Allow the Spirit of God to do a work in your heart. So, religion then, religion is our restless, we never cease, it seems, our restless attempts to heal ourselves, to establish our own righteousness, but left to ourselves, the Apostle Paul says, we have no hope in the world. We are a lot like Humpty Dumpty, right? Another story, right? We've had a great fall, and all the king's horses, all the king's men cannot restore us. We need help. Only the king can put us together again. And I want to, recently, Sharon and I read a remarkable chapter in the third book of Tolkien's trilogy, The Return of the King. And there's this ancient seven-tiered city built up into the cliffs called, Minas Tirith. And it's kind of hard to see, but you could get some kind of idea of that artist rendition of it. And it's being besieged, and all these forces of darkness are surrounding it. And the true king, Aragorn, has lived for years in obscurity, helping people sort of incognito. And he's yet to assume his rightful status. But while in this place, one of the most important or sacred places in this city is this place called the House of Healing, because all the city leans in to those loved ones who are wounded or ill. And that could come later, but it's good here too. That's a picture of inside the House of Healing, and you get this idea of this grace that's being bestowed on somebody. Tolkien was, and I have this from his letters, he was mindful of the gospel when he wrote his stories, by the way. And so if you know the gospel, you can find ways to understand it through this story that echoes it in some profound ways. But up in the House of Healing, the people are so distraught, they're trying to maintain care for those people who are sick while all the forces of darkness are threatening to ruin the city. And someone says, well, how will we know when the king comes? And this older woman, nurse, says, it is said in old lore, the hands of the king or the hands of a healer, so the rightful king will be known. When the king comes, it won't just be that he's a great warrior. He'll come as a healer. And then you read, and soon the word had gone out from the house because Aragorn, who's pictured there with the sword, Aragorn had come into the House of Healing, and indeed, pretty soon, they saw that the king had indeed returned and was taking his rightful place. And it says, soon the word had gone out from the house that the king was indeed among them, and the news ran through the city. Well, when I read that to Sharon, it was very moving because I kept thinking, no story can do justice to Jesus, by the way. So even in a story as vast as The Lord of the Rings, there's four or five characters that make me think of Jesus. Jesus is like this magnificent diamond, you know, and there's all these different facets. So that's why there's all these different names of Jesus. If you had one name of Jesus, like they go on and on. If you had one name, it would be sweet, but we have scores of names. Well, it made me think of Jesus, and the hands of the king are indeed the hands of the healer, and the true king has not left us alone, and the gospel is the true story. And by the way, when C.S. Lewis was an atheist, and he was the Lord, the Hound of Heaven was starting to pursue him, his friendship with J.R.R. Tolkien was pivotal. And one night they walked almost through the night because they both loved all these great stories and legends. And as Lewis tells it, he said, Tolkien said, but the great thing is that there's one legend, there's one story that really happened. God really did visit this earth. And he really did do everything for us, we read in the Gospels. And Lewis said that the Lord had used that to start turning him towards Christ. The gospel is the true story of rescue and consolation and hope. I mean, listen to the old lore from Isaiah. The Spirit of the Lord has come upon me. This is Isaiah 61, 1 to 3. Because the Lord has anointed me to bring good news to the poor. See, people that read this knew that when the King came, He would come with hands of healing. He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives and the opening of prison to those who are bound, to comfort all who mourn, to give them the oil of gladness. I even think of that, the elders coming with oil. The oil of gladness instead of mourning. And now what, hundreds of years later, what is Jesus' inaugural sermon when he goes back to his hometown of Nazareth? He opens to that passage and reads it. It's just amazing. And then he says, today, this scripture is fulfilled in your hearing.